Hey everybody, welcome back to We Are Podcast. This is I Hate Being Sober, Season 1, Episode 14, A Conversation with Comedian Kathy Zhao. If this is your first time checking out the podcast network, please head over to your favorite podcast app, Spotify, Stitcher, Podbean, or iTunes, and give We Are Podcast Network a like. And if you get a chance, head over to our social media. All links can be found in the description. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at @WeArePodcast. And with that said, on to the podcast.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to
I Hate Being Sober.
And now our host, Doug!
Hey everybody, welcome to I Hate Being Sober, a podcast about personal stories from epic people. And today, I've got one of the most epic people I've ever met. I met her through a comedy class that I took, Mr. Dean Lewis's comedy class. I've got Kathy Zhao here today. Is that right? Did I say it right? Kathy Zhao?
Yes, Kathy Zhao. Okay. Good pronunciation.
Thank you so much. So Kathy, how are you doing today?
I'm doing okay. I just got diarrhea before I joined your show. I want to tell everyone that if your size is M, don't buy a size S pants because it probably will give you diarrhea. Yeah.
Kathy, you're ridiculous. I love it. I was on your Facebook earlier looking through stuff. I was creeping a little bit and you have comedy up there. So everyone go to Kathy's Facebook page, check out her comedy. You have a TikTok also, right?
Yes, I only have one video when I was doing a duck. Cooking a duck.
Oh, that's not good. That's a bad situation for us.
I have Instagram. It's okay. Kathy Zhao, CathyZhao 1900.
And what we're going to do is we're going to link all of your stuff in the description because I want people to go see your comedy and to enjoy what you're doing because your life seems to be comedy. Everything you post is comedy related. And I know you love doing stand-up and you've done quite a bit of it. Is that correct?
Yes. I mean, I don't think it's about comedy. It's just my life. And it's just sometimes so sucks and the people think it's funny. So yeah, and the people make it as a comedy. Oh, thank amazing. You so much, Doug Key. Yeah, thank you. Be my advertisement manager.
I'll take the job. Trust me. I'm looking for a social media job right now. So let's talk about you. So you're from China. Is that correct?
Yes, I was born and grew up in China. So my hometown is called Dalian. It's a very small coastal city. By saying small, I mean it only has 8 million people. Because in China, it's a small one. And I mean, a lot of people ask me where my hometown is. So because I live in San Francisco, I will tell them, if you jump off the Golden Gate Bridge and swing towards east for 48 hours, you will get to my hometown. And my parents probably can pick you up if you arrive.
What was growing up there? Like, do you have a good relationship with your family? Or is that kind of...
I think that my parents, because I'm the only child. So my parents give me all the best they can. And they also expect me to do the best I can. So it's kind of like they give me something, I have to return them back, right? That's a very normal Chinese family. And my father is a super funny guy. Mm-hmm. He's an entrepreneur and he earned a lot of money. At the same time, he also lost a lot of money. So that's why we call him an entrepreneur. So like, if you look at the balance, it's always negative. my mom stopped working since I went to elementary school because she wanted me to, to have like a mom to take care of me all the time. But actually, the truth is she just wanted to go shopping every day. So that's why she quit her job. Yes, that's my family. Like, we are not a very typical Chinese family because, I know most of my friends, both their parents work full time. But I have a mom who's like at home or go shopping. So I know a lot of like crazy things from my mom and her friends.
So you get the comedy side from your father then, the sense of humor, or is it from both of your parents?
I think from both of my parents, because I think my mom always has some ridiculous idea. And she knows I'm living in San Francisco. So she always thinks I should date Elon Musk. because Elon Musk is the only American guy he knows who's also living in the San Francisco Bay Area. So when Elon moved to Texas, oh, she was so heartbroken. She's like, you lost the only chance you can become married. I was like, yeah.
So growing up in China, what was that like? How is it different from the American experience that you've had?
Yeah, it's very interesting because when I compare myself with my like American friends, I found that most of my life, like probably within the first 20 years, was just being a good student, study very hard and always get A+, and try to please your parents, your teachers. You can't do much about yourself. Basically, like your dream probably is your parents' dream, like go to like Ivy League school and then find a very good job and get married and have children. That's, I think, like a Chinese dream of a lot of parents. So yeah, I feel like life there was very, very different from the life here, because in US, you have so much freedom that you can, you can be very independent. Say like you can go to a bar with your friends, but in China, probably there are not many bars, I think. Yeah. And if you go to a bar as a teenager, it's going to be very weird. Like, yeah, because that means you're not a good, super good student.
So you found yourself, you said that for the first 20 years, did you know who you were as a person, or did you just spend all your time working to get those A's and get the grade and all that stuff?
I think while I was a kid, my dream was to become a film director, because mm-hmm. I really love doing theater. And then I kind of like just tried to realize my parents' dream is to, just work hard and get a very good job, probably like working in the government, like public servants, like a very stable job. I think that I didn't really know who I was. And I got mad when people say I was funny. I remember like first year in college, like my friend said, oh, you were so funny talking in front of everyone, like in the classroom. I was so mad. I was like, why did you say that? I think I'm a very serious person, right? Because I'm supposed to be probably the president of China, like the officer. Why did you say that? But now I think my mentality changed a lot. I really enjoy being funny with my friends, with everyone. Mm-hmm. And I love seeing people laugh at me, maybe because I'm just stupid, but it's okay.
When did you come here to America?
My first time in the States was probably 24 years old. Mm-hmm. I was having a summer school at Stanford University. And it was the first time I lived, outside of China for so long, probably like 4 months. It was very mind-blowing. I feel like, oh, it was so different. And when I was in the classroom, everyone was talking about China. And I feel like, oh, please do not talk about China, because I'm from China. I don't feel comfortable enough. But as you know, like as China is growing so strong economically and culturally, so everyone's talking about China. And I felt so uncomfortable. And I swear to myself, I will never come back here again.
Oh, wow.
But somehow, like the next year, I became a visiting scholar at Harvard University.
I'm sitting here going, I'm talking to somebody who went to Stanford and Harvard. Like, this is insane. I'm literally like, this is, thank you for your time. This is absolutely insane to me. So you went to Harvard at that point, you said.
Yeah, like I stayed there for about 1 year in the Department of Literature, Comparative Literature. And I think that I felt very depressed because I didn't have many friends there. But in that year, I think I grew up a lot and I started to change my mind towards different cultures, like about like how, especially for American society, I feel I got like a deeper understanding than before, like what people like generally in Boston are like, and how I can become friends with them. Because at the end of my visiting scholar, what do you call that, the first year, I became friends with people from Costa Rica, like people who are local in Boston. And I was like, oh, this is America. Like, it's not just about white people, right? Like, you can make friends with so many people from different cultures. So then I decided to come back to the US for my second master's degree in anthropology. So I went back to Stanford and did another master. So, yeah.
Wow.
And
That's all I can say. Wow.
It sounds pretty boring, I feel, because it's always studying like in different schools. But I was so grateful that when I started my graduate school at Stanford, I got a host family, like a Jewish family. Mm-hmm. And my Jewish dad, he's already 78 years old, but he's super funny and super smart. He like graduated from Caltech and then went to Stanford. And then he just decided not to do anything, just travel around the world and randomly making money by teaching, software programming. So I just feel like, wow, you can live a life like this. Because in China, everyone's supposed to be working hard, making a lot of money. But my Jewish dad told me, work is not worth much. Like, what he likes most is like traveling, playing violin and playing chess. So I think he has a huge influence on me. That's why I started to do stand-up comedy and my mom started to call me a loser.
But that's beautiful, because he said, chase your passions, because it seems like for the majority of your life, you were chasing, like you said, your parents' passions, or at least what they wanted you to do.
Yeah, but I didn't know stand-up comedy was my passion, because at first I just tried at Stanford, like at school for some workshops. The first time I did a public one was in a cafe, like in a Mountain View. It's a city near San Francisco. The only reason was that I got dumped by my ex-boyfriend. I just wanted him to be infamous. So I made the whole set about him. And yes, I need to tell other people how he treated me. So that's why I started my stand-up comedy career from being dumped. And I'm pretty sure that if he dumped me again, I probably will have a Netflix special.
Well, you're dating him again? Is that right?
No.
I was going to say, no. Dear Lord, don't go back. Never go back. But no, it's wonderful, because it sounds like it's therapy for you almost at that point, because you were working through your anger probably and your resentment, things like that. Film and theater, that's what I wanted to ask. You said you had a passion, you wanted to be a director or you want to do theater. Did you ever end up pursuing those in any way?
I did a lot of theater stuff, both in China and in the Bay Area, because we had a theater club at Stanford. It's a Chinese theater club. And I just joined them as an actress, and we did some fun shows together. And I definitely want to explore more, like, you know, for comedy stuff, if like there's any director want to film me.
did that lead to comedy, or you were doing both at the same time?
I think I did that first. Because at that moment, I didn't even know, like when I was doing probably theater 5 years ago at Stanford, I didn't even know what stand-up comedy was. It was not until the show Marvelous Mrs. Maisel that my friend said, Kathy, you have to watch that. You have to watch that. So I was like, oh, this is stand-up comedy. I can do that too.
And so the first time you went and tried it, you said you were at Stanford. And did you catch the bug at that point, or did you kind of shy away from it? How did that first set go?
It was so funny. Like, professor started a workshop of stand-up comedy, and he wanted some like student performers. And I just lied to him, like, I did stand-up comedy before. Actually, I didn't. So he said, okay, can you perform for us? I was like, okay. So I wrote like 5 minutes set. People love it. So I basically awesome. Talk about what it feels like being a Chinese immigrant in the US. And I was like, okay, as people loved it, maybe I should write more. And then the next time I wrote was like after 1 year.
After a year?
After a year, because I was so lazy, sorry.
Oh, no, you were not lazy, like Stanford.
No, Harvard, sorry for myself.
You were busy. You were doing stuff. That one set, you had insight that others don't have. And that's why I wanted to talk to you, because you do get to see this country from a different point of view. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You get to experience it. But also you have a way to express that experience, and you get to use the stereotypes that Americans have about the Chinese, and you get to fight against them. And I think that's beautiful and wonderful, because We need voices. We need representation. And by doing it through stand-up comedy, I think you're going to be huge. And you're going to be able to express those things if you want to change opinions and hearts and minds. And I think that's wonderful. Is that something that you want to do? Or do you just want to be funny as you can be and get people to laugh?
Yeah, thank you, Ducky. That's, I think your opinion is very right. I think at first, I just wanted people to know that there are so many Chinese stereotypes, Asian stereotypes, which doesn't fall on me. Not every, I mean, I'm a bad driver. That one definitely falls on me. But there are other things, like I definitely don't fall on most of our Asians. But at the same time, I was also thinking about that. I'm not just a Chinese. I came here as an international student. I came here to study both Western culture and I also know the Eastern culture. I think like when we think about doing stand-up comedy, I should not just think about like I do it for Americans or do it for Chinese. It's like we all live in the same world. Like the whole world is flat. So I'm always thinking about how I can make it more international. Like, you know, people suffer from the same reasons and people laugh at the same reasons. So I'm been thinking about how I can make everyone, not just a person who grew up in the US, but also maybe like immigrant from Pakistan, from Mexico, from all over the world can laugh. That's something I definitely want to do and I'm trying to do better at.
Well, I think you're doing it. I think, like I said, with the workshop that we worked through, I could always see how you were trying to take that common experience and have a conversation about it while still making it funny. And it's wonderful. And I think that that's why you're going to have a huge reach. And especially all the work you're putting in, going through Facebook, just scrolling down, I saw all the shows you were doing. Are you doing trivia night too? You're hosting trivia?
Right? Yes. Yes. I just got a part-time job in like a town, probably like a 30 minutes drive from my working place. So I do trivia night. And yes, it was really fun. But the only thing that when I tell them about my jokes, nobody cares because they just want the right answer.
So are you in San Francisco now? You live there and you've been there for a while. Is that correct?
I live in a city like nearby. The whole area is called San Francisco Bay Area. You can also call it Silicon Valley. It's like a very techy, heavy place. So basically, when we say the city, it means San Francisco. But most of people just live around the city.
Why did you end up choosing there? Was it because of work or was there another reason?
Oh, because after I graduated from Stanford, I just find a job nearby. And I just, you know, stay here like after graduation.
One of the things I want to talk about is you have on your Facebook, and I kind of gathered this from talking to you. You're very against racism. And you're like me. I despise racism. I want to bring people together. That's my goal in life. And I want people to see me, you know, because I'm a white male in a world where white men have dominated for so long in terrible ways.
Thank you, Ducky.
And I want to bring everyone in together and feel that community and that love. And I think that you're kind of the same way when it comes to that. And I think the way to do that is to take whatever platform you have and lift up the other voices so that people can hear. That's why I wanted to talk to you, because I thought Kathy's going to have an amazing insight. And so far, you know, everything we talked about has been wonderful.
Hey, everyone, it's just Duck jumping in here real quick to say thank you so much for checking out the podcast today. If you're enjoying it, head over to your favorite podcast app, Spotify, Stitcher, Podbean, or iTunes, and give We Are Podcast Network a like. And if you get a chance, head over to our social media. All links can be found in the description. You can find us at Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at @WeArePodcast. And with that, back to the podcast.
Is that something that you believe in, though, is fighting the racism and bringing people together?
Yeah. I think that everyone should think the same way as I do. I don't know why many people don't think the same way. Like, I believe like the whole world is oneness. It's like, everyone, no matter where you grew up, no matter what your race is, no matter what your religion is, you all have the same goal towards life. Like you want to have a good life. You want to build a good community around you. And you want to use love, not hate, towards other people, right? So I think that when I had some experience with racist people, like both on the East Coast and the West Coast. And some people, let me tell you, are even Asian. Yeah, sometimes Asians hate Asians. So I just feel like, why should we do that? We should not do that. If I can change anything, maybe what I'm doing is to use stand-up comedy to fight against the racism, to fight against male chauvinism, to fight against anything I feel uncomfortable with.
I agree with you. And for you, what is the number one thing that you think that you can do as an individual to fight it, though? You said love earlier and showing people. For me, like, I look like a neo-Nazi. I got a mohawk, I'm white, blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? But I like to show people kindness and show them that this look...
That is love, right?
Right. And just show them that there's a different way, and like, just be as kind as humanly possible and empathetic. What is your process for fighting?
I think I grew up in China, and so I was, you know, growing up with this Confucius mentality that if you don't want to be treated the same way, then don't treat it the way to other people. So I think everyone wants the same thing, like, and doesn't want the same thing. That's why I feel that maybe the first thing I can do is to make my voice heard as a Asian immigrant, as a Chinese immigrant, because, you know, like, Asian immigrants, when we think about Asian immigrants, we think, oh, they are hardworking, but they are quiet. You won't see many Asian politicians in the U.S. Maybe they just don't want to give their opinions. Maybe they don't care. But actually, I know, like, many of my Asian friends, they really care. They want their voice heard. But the majority don't listen to you if you shout at them.
Right.
So I was thinking about, why don't we just make some jokes so people will laugh and think, right?
I think in a lot of ways, comedians are modern philosophers. I think that this world is so mixed up and backwards that people can't understand unless it's through satire or comedy. They can't see it. And we've always used satire throughout history, through literature or plays or movies or whatever it is, to get a point across. You know, Isaac Asimov wrote the Foundation trilogy, and, you know, he had to use robots in the future to get across simple human morality tales. Comedy to me is the same way. You can speak volumes through this art form. And I think that's what's beautiful about it, is people will actually listen because they actually sit back for a minute. And when they're laughing, they're also getting something even better. And that's why I think it's wonderful that you want to use this art form to express yourself.
I can't agree more. And I remember Mark Twain said that, you know, why there were so many humorists like in my age, but none of them became as famous as me. Because in nature, I'm not a humorist. I'm an ethicist. Like, I talk about what's the word? Sorry, how to pronounce it? Morality. It's like, I'm a moralityist. Moralityist. Thank you. Yeah, he said, I'm a moralityist. So that's why I can become so influential. But all those humorists, they just, people don't remember their names.
Are you a feminist also? Would you categorize yourself as a feminist?
Yes, I think I'm a feminist because at first I'm a woman, I'm a female, and I strongly agree that we should have more female in every industry of this world. Just like, the Ruth Ginsburg said, like, if you feel it's so weird that all our, you know, supreme judges are guys, but our supreme judges are women, but look at now, you will not feel surprised if all supreme judges are guys.
There needs to be a change. There needs to be, in this world, women need to be lifted up. And that's the thing, is like, you're breaking glass ceilings already with what you're doing. And that's, I just feel like, in the same way we're talking about the comedy, you're going to break the glass ceiling with the comedy too. You're just going to break through.
I'm trying my best because I'm so tired of the guys, or especially white guys, talking on the stage all the time. look at all the like videos, or look at all the TED Talks. Most of the TED Talks, it's a guy talking there, or like the, you know, the new product videos of like a Google or Tesla, it's Elon Musk. It's the Google CEO. It's Tim Cook of Apple. It's all guys. Hey, we need a lot of women. And I think women are definitely as capable as men if they were given the same opportunities.
And you have to face the facts that women are not given the same opportunities for whatever reason. It's ridiculous. I don't understand it personally. How do we change it, though, is the question. Voices need to be heard. People need to say things. People need to step out of comfort zones. And people need to hold people accountable. And I think we're seeing that more and more. I'm hoping within the next 10 years, there's going to be a change. And I think it'll be wonderful. I think it'll be great when that time comes. But it's people like you who are pushing the boundaries, changing hearts and minds. And that's the big thing that's got to happen. I apologize. I'm rambling.
No worries. That's so good. Thank you, Ducky, being such a wonderful feminist.
I've had my moments, trust me. But I had some anger issues with women before, and I got over that shit real quick.
No worries.
Yeah.
There are bad people, no matter guy or woman.
It's about changing your heart. You know what I mean? Like, I was this far from being an incel. You know what an incel is, right?
An incel
is one of those guys who think women owe them everything, and they're angry at women, and they end up going out and doing terrible things. And my mindset was poisoned because I was in a very bad relationship. And when I found out what an incel was, I changed my heart and my mind. I said, I'm not going to be like that. There's no way, because every person's an individual and we need to look at the merits of the individual. Whereas I was lumping all women together and having anger issues towards all women. And the day that it changed, I was just like, this is stupid. Like, why am I doing
that? Yeah, thank you. Wow. Yeah. Thank you, Ducky, not being an incel. Yeah, that's... Yeah. you cannot just take one person as a whole gender or whole race or whole religion, right?
Right. Everyone's different and everyone's individual. And that's one of the reasons I wanted to start this podcast, is to have these conversations and get insight that I don't have. Because like you said earlier, you always think, why don't people think like me? But the problem is, we don't always think correctly, and we need to have those conversations, or the difficult conversations. That's the big part. People don't want to have difficult conversations.
Yeah, I know.
We start having those, it changes everything. I wanted to talk about your writing process. What is that like?
You know, when I was working as a journalist, I need to write a lot of articles about the technology leaders in Silicon Valley. And I remember I wrote an article about like a working master. It's called a shower taking working master. So when you are taking a shower or taking a bath, it's the best time for you to think about the important things. So whenever I take a shower, so I take a shower every day now, I would just think about what makes me uncomfortable and what makes me laugh and what makes me feel so bored. So I think about all the things. And then after my shower, I would just write down my thoughts as much as I can before I go to bed. So that's kind of like my showering writing way.
And so you write it down. Do you look at it in the morning then? Or do you just, how do you re-edit it?
I put it on my notebook on my iPhone. Mm-hmm. So I will just randomly check those jokes. Like maybe it's just a draft. But then if I have another joke similar with the same thing, I want to combine them together. So then I will rewrite it and will edit it. But as you know, I'm a very lazy person. So I'm not a very hardworking writer at all.
I was going to say, how can you say that you just added journalist to like the series of jobs that you had there? You're not lazy at all. It's crazy.
Another thing I write is like whenever I feel pissed off by someone, I will write that person into my joke. And I will make a joke specifically for that person. So don't piss me off.
I'm not trying to. I won't. I promise. Your stage presence, your stage persona, is it something different than you? Or are you just trying to convey yourself whenever you're on stage?
I think it's pretty much me. That's what my friends said. They say, like, you don't need to pretend anything. Just be yourself. It's already hilarious. Because I think a lot of my friends said my style is guy insulting. They say I'm very good at insulting guys, but I don't think that's true. I think I'm just telling guys the truth,
right?
So I think my style is very truthful. Maybe they felt they were insulted by me.
Well, it's something you said you have a passion for, and that's what Dean taught us in the class. What are you passionate about? And then go out there and talk about that. So like you said, the breakup earlier. Obviously, that brought up a lot of emotion. So you were passionate about
definitely.
It. So you were able to express that. Were you afraid at all the first time you went up? Do you get afraid at all? Do you get nervous?
I was a little bit nervous because I had to memorize all those things in English. So
how many languages do you speak?
I speak Chinese, Mandarin, English, and a little bit French. But okay. Because I was a linguistics major when I was in college, but I could not speak many languages. And I don't think I'm very good at language. Even for English today, I have to randomly ask you what does the word mean.
Where do you see yourself in 10 years? Do you want to be one of the big name comedians, or do you just want to be a local comedian, or where do you want to be eventually with all of this?
I want to be like internationally traveled comic. And at the same time, because I started from this year, my friend and I, we started a program. It's like a nonprofit organization to teach teenagers who are from, you know, low-income families stand-up comedy and improvisation. I want to make it like a big NGO. I want all American schools can have humor classes. I think that's very important to empower our teenagers and children with humor for them to deal with life difficulties.
Yeah, and especially it's needed because we have so many kids today who are just doing terrible things.
During the pandemic, like a lot of kids, they don't have an outlet. They mm-hmm. have nowhere to vent out. So I think comedy is a great way.
Absolutely. Do you have any advice for people starting out? I'm starting out. I'm just at the beginning. You've been doing this for a while. Do you have any advice for somebody who's just starting like myself?
I think I gave you advice during our class. It's like if you have stage fright, all you think about is, you know, just be strong and fuck them all. Can I curse here? Can I curse?
Yes, of course. Absolutely.
I'm trying to be a clean comic. I'm trying to be a clean comic. As Dean like told us, every time I want to curse, I would just say thank you. Thank them all.
Is there anything else you want to talk about?
I want to just tell more about our nonprofit organization.
Okay.
It's called Laugh It Out Hub because we want to combine the, you know, comedian educators with teenagers from like low-income families as well as those rich people, our donors, together to make this come true. And we're going to have our first pilot workshop in 2 weeks.
Oh, wow.
And if you know any teenagers who are interested in this, please let me know. Yes.
Is it going to be through like Zoom meeting or is it going
to
be?
Yeah, it's going to be through Zoom, I think at this moment, because I think the pandemic is still going on. But later we probably will have offline courses for like, it's all free, like for teenagers.
And so you're going to be one of the teachers and you have other comedians who are going to be teachers in this. Is that correct?
Yeah, I will be the first teacher. And then we created all the content and then we will hire more comedian teachers.
And
you should be our volunteer, Ducky.
I mean, I'm not educated enough yet in it. I could teach them some things, but not comedy. So maybe someday. I think it's a wonderful idea. I didn't know that you were going forward with it so quickly. So that's so great. You're making it happen. And it's a nonprofit. You said people can donate money or time, or what are you looking for?
Time, money, whatever you want to donate, because we need a lot of volunteers.
And what's it called again?
It's called Laugh It Out Hub.
Awesome. We'll link it in the description of this podcast. Everyone go donate. And if you have time to give, please give time because these kids, like you said, they need an outlet. That was an awesome conversation. I really
appreciate you. Thank you, Ducky. I really had a good time talking with you.
Yes, awesome stuff. Thank you so much. I hope that we can meet up again in a year or two and have another conversation and see where everything's at.
Yeah, of course. I think I probably will visit you like in Dallas.
Woo! That'll be awesome. That'll be so cool.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much for your time, Kathy Zhao. Thank you. Go check out the Laugh It Out Hub and please donate to that. Other than that, Kathy, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Ducky. Have a good night.
All right, you too. Take care.
And there it is. Thank you again so much for checking out the podcast today. If you enjoyed it, head over to your favorite podcast app, Spotify, Stitcher, Podbean, and iTunes, and give We Are Podcast Network a like. And if you've enjoyed this podcast, you're going to love the other podcasts here on the We Are Podcast Network. We have We Are Air, where we talk movies, entertainment, whatever the fuck we want to talk about. That's me, that's Jake, and that's Javi. We're breaking down that pop culture, and we're having so much fun. And don't forget to check out We Are Bagoo, a video game podcast where we talk Atari to Steam and everything between. That's me and Dr. Ethan Eastwood breaking down all that video game lore and having such a good time. Heroes, Jiros, a Dungeons and Distractions side quest. Me and the boys were playing some D&D. You can start that one from Season 1, Episode 1. It's a blast the whole way through. And finally, our new live video podcast, Camp/Horrorcast, where we're going to have a roundtable discussion about our favorite horror movies. That'll be available on Twitch and YouTube, streaming every Monday at 8 p.m. Check the links in the description to find out what movies we'll be watching. Also, check the links in the description for our social media. You can find us at Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at @WeArePodcastNetwork. With that said, thank you so much for checking out the podcast today. Please remember to support local comedy in any way that you can. We'll see you next time.